Matthew 16:19 is Jesus speaking unto them, giving them the keys of the kingdom. You see that? The keys of the kingdom. Now, I know Wednesday nights are our Bible studies. Get in the habit of taking notes. You say, Pastor, the past couple of Wednesdays, you haven't said anything about the Bible. We ain't even got to the Bible. I know. I fight with God about it, too. I don't know how many PowerPoints I've done and done my notes and forget it. But maybe it was just for me, so it's okay. But what I want you to do is always take notes, because you're going to learn something. You may just get a nugget. Now, I'm not talking about a chicken nugget. I'm talking about a golden nugget that comes from God. That golden nugget is going to feed you and give you some revelation. And if you don't want to know about God, then sit there. Be still. Be still. Don't worry about it. The Spirit of God will get you. Because when I pray, I say, pray like this. Get them, God. Right? Get them, God. Because he loves you. He's going to get you. All right. So here's the preface of what I want to speak to you, is that this is the keys of the kingdom of God. Now, are you there at Isaiah 22:22? Hallelujah. All right, I'm beginning. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. That's powerful right there. I don't know if you got that clear understanding yet. I will give the keys of David. David. David was a king. David was a mighty warrior. David was a mighty man. David, King David. Why would he make it so clear in his word about King David house? Huh? Well, I'm glad you asked, because no one's responding with me. Then I will set the key of the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut, and when he shuts, no one will open. Well, we know that to be the prophecy about Jesus to come. So what he's talking about is that Jesus will open doors that no man can shut. But he will close doors that no man can open. You're praying, you're fasting, your chandas and your haze ain't gonna open the door. You're just gonna have to wait until the timing of God is there for you to put the key in. He said he gave you the keys. He didn't say the keys are still up in heaven. He didn't say the keys are only by my spirit. He didn't say that the keys were only given to the pastor, to the priest, the high priest, to the elder, to the minister. So I gave it to you. So he gave me the key. We have to know what to do with it, do we not? Well, watch this. There's more than one key. What? I'm going to show you, mira. I'll show you. Go to next slide, Josh. Keep your head up. Look at me. The keys to the kingdom. Next slide. Isaiah 22:22. Please make note of this in your spirit as well. Many times we try to open up doors that we believe are the right doors to walk through. Jesus! I started the church. Jesus! That's how you do. Oh, that's how you do. I know it is. I know. Oh. That's how we do. We try to open up that door. We start kicking, screaming, hollering, snot running down our nose. Now we don't even care who's looking at us. We're trying to get to that. Open the door! Your head starts spinning around like this, and people look at you. You need Jesus. But wait a minute. And you just came from church? It was Bible study? What'd you learn? Watch. Y'all start putting this kind of scripture on it. Knock and I will open the door. Y'all knocking and knocking and knocking. But he ain't going to open the door for you. Until the timing and the door is right. Okay. Let's just. I ain't knocking no more. You want to open it? You open it. Maybe I need to go on another fast. Call the church on a fast? Okay. You think you're hearing from God? It wasn't God, it was you. You're all mad. Why do you think that door won't open? Because he knows what you'll do on the other side. You'll ruin everything he wants to give you. Because your attitude ain't in check yet. Oh, really? Ooh. Yeah, that one hit right like, ooh, ow. Next. Woo! Go to Revelation 3:7. I'm going to show you some scriptures. One of the things I do know about God is that he will always give you what you need when you need it. Not when you think you need it, but when you need it. Because if it had been your way, you would have ordered all kinds of stuff and forgot about what you really needed. So in the tempering through the process of God, he begins to show you what you're praying amiss. In other words, you're praying for something to get, but when you get it, you wish you didn't get it. Because you don't know what you're going to get till you got it. Once you got it, you probably didn't want to get it to begin with. But then when you get it, you realize, I messed up. Don't look at your spouse right now. That's not what I'm talking about. Look at the cross. Look at the cross. A lot of things that we pray for, we think we need to get it when we want it. I cannot give the keys to Hannah to the vehicle and tell her to go get me a Whataburger with cheese and french fries and a strawberry shake because she cannot drive right now. I don't care how hungry I is, and I don't care about my craving that I have. It is not good to do that. Why? Because it will cause harm not only to her, to others. Why do you think the door don't open? Because he's not just worried about you, he's worried about what you're going to do to the other people. And then you're going to say, but God said, no, he didn't. You said. But you said it was God. No. You're trying to force a door open that he's kept shut for a reason. You try to open it up and try to start a business, and it wasn't the business to start, but it took you all the way to another state, far, far away. wonder what am I doing over here? He says, I didn't tell you to go. Well, can I go home? He goes, well, I didn't tell you to come. Go home. But yet we get in a place that we know we're not supposed to be. I'm waiting on God. You didn't wait on God to get there. Why? You want to wait on God for him to tell you to go back into the right place. Okay, I'm going to get off of that. Some of y'all looking at me like, Pastor, would you just... Revelation. Oh. Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 7. Do you have it? Now, this is God writing letters to the churches, the seven churches. What I want you to take note of, if you go through in Revelation, I want you to read about it. These letters that are written to the churches, all of them are getting rebuked. Except this church. The name of this church is what? Philadelphia. Called what? Brotherly love. Oh, wait a minute. Is that a key? Yes. Brotherly love. So to the church of brotherly love, he speaks a blessing to. What is this blessing? Rich. It's a good word. I just kissed Jesus. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write this. He who is holy, who is true, who has what? The key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one will open, says this. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power. And I have kept my word, and I have not denied my name. Okay, now. The church of brotherly love now gets a blessing. Says, I've opened doors that no one is ever going to shut on you. But the statement is first, because we've kept the commands. We've kept the love. Love for who? Love for one another. Love for one another. Yeah. Isn't that what always gets tested in your life? Yeah, when you walk through these doors, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to be real. Yeah, when you walk through church, you get tested in that. Where do you think the enemy works? In the church. So that you can get so mad, like, that church just got evil spirits everywhere. It's on you. Oh, but I just sensed there was division in the house. Well, I just sensed that there was a spirit of sensuality. Well, there's just some pride issues there. The discernment, yes, you discern between good and evil. But here's the thing. God never told you to discern about it. You were only to know good. It was during the fall that you learned about evil. You're only supposed to discern good. But we're all looking for it. She got a demon. He don't got all kinds of demons. I coming right back to you. Got a demon over here. She just don't even want to be in church. What happens is we get so caught up in looking for demons. Stop it. How about walking in? Where's Jesus? Hey, I found Jesus. That's what it's about. Jesus. You don't come to the house of God to see demons. You come to the house of God to see God. Change that mindset. Everybody else getting off freaking. Oh, I got to pray. I know what I see things. Look, can I just
Can I teach you something? Watch this. How many of you have decided, I'm going to buy a, let's just say, a Mercedes-Benz SUV. But then all of a sudden, you start seeing them. Why? Because in your mind, you've already pictured it. And guess what your mind is trained to do? To see it.
That's true.
Was that spiritual? No. Pastor, I want to learn about the spirit. No, learn about yourself first. Think about it this way. Right. Oh, I'm going to get in some people's business today. Lord Jesus. Woo! I'm going to look me for a tall, dark, and handsome young man. I'm going to look for me for a blonde, blue-eyed woman. And all you're looking for is what you can't have. Because what you wind up with is not what you desired. It's called lust. Yeah, what happens? Because your mind is fixated on what you want. It paints a picture. And guess what? Your mind begins to look for it. And what happens? The same thing with the Mercedes-Benz. It shows up. It must be God. No, it's you. That's what happens. That's not a spiritual thing. It's a natural thing. Now watch this. Let's flip it to the spiritual side. When you pray, believe you received and you will have it. Watch this. I just said it earlier. He looked unto his disciples that were following him for 3.5 years. Teacher, teach us how to pray. Ever since I've been with you, I've been praying day in and day out. You see me get up late. You see me get up early. You see me get up in the afternoon. And you still want me to teach how to pray? I pray the will of the Father. He didn't say your will. The will of the Father. Before y'all get it all twisted. Pastor, I want to know what the will of God is. Do you love God? With all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and all your soul, you're in the will of God. You're in the will of God. It's simple. It's real simple. We the ones get it all messed up. I just want to be in the will of God. Love God. You're in His will. Now, the Bible says He'll direct your path. He'll direct your path. When you pray, Lord, what you have in store for me, I receive. I receive the benefits of the kingdom, for you have given me the key. I'm giving you a hint. The first key is prayer. The first key of the kingdom is prayer. What did Jesus do? He prayed. What did He teach the disciples? How to pray. In the midst of that, He sees some people that are wounded, they're hurt, they're sick, they're deformed. When they cried out, or they pursued, or they touched, He healed. If they did not, He walked right on by. Some of y'all don't want to hear this. Jesus walked at the pool of Bethesda. Many people were sick, but He only healed one. He never even touched them or ever put them in the water. You never read that He healed anybody else. That's a cold Jesus right there. He don't heal everybody. Not everybody wanted to be healed. If they don't want to be healed, you can pray and fast and this and that. Not going to happen. Watch. I'm going to give you a flip side. To this. First key is prayer. Watch this. Every time Jesus came into a city, He didn't just save the one. saved the family. Watch, this is what I want to show you. This is what I show you. Okay. Revelation 3:7-8. You got it? You written it down? All right. The key of David. Who was David? There's a hint right there. Psalmist. He wrote songs. Okay. Just for the next one, John. Hallelujah. Promise to get you out of here quick. All right, there's spiritual doors of faith. Go to Acts 14:27. When you're there, say amen. I'm kind of digging this kind of electronic thing. Take me a little bit, but go gadget, we'll figure it out. Acts 14, verse 27. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done within them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Oh. In other words, these Gentiles hadn't seen the miracles of Jesus. They only heard what they were reporting. What happened was God gave them faith through the key to the door of their faith. Who went to minister to the Gentiles? A disciple. If you're here and your family members aren't here because they don't want to go to church, or your friends or your bosses or your loved ones that don't want to go to church, the mere fact that you're here, you are the disciple that is going to go forth and bring the word and bring forth healing, because the key is going to open up their heart of faith and they will receive and be saved. Why? Because they gave a testimony of Jesus Christ in the acts that he did. They never witnessed, but what they did, and guess what? They believed and they got saved. That's what took place. Go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. If you want to just take notes first and then move on, that's fine. Colossians 4. When you're there, say amen. See, we're making up for those weeks that we didn't have any scripture. He gave me a lot. Who has it? Colossians 4, 1 through 4. Will you read it, Jackie?
The NIV. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should.
That's right. What did he tell them to do? Oh, devote yourself to what?
Prayer.
Praying at the same time for all is well. God will open to us a door. A door. Another door. What does it? Prayer. Prayer. Whew, I'm telling you. What he's going to do is give you the utterances. The utterances. In other words, he's going to tell you what to say. Before you go minister to anybody, you need to pray and ask this: give me what to say. Because he may just have you say one word or two words. I remember a young man prophesied in here, and he says, I don't know what this means. I see a rose. Remember that? A rose. That was the only word. She understood it. She understood. Why? It's better to hear what God tells you to say. You say what God said to say. That's it. Too many people want to go into their own words. The rose that was behind the other bush and it just wasn't growing right. It's the rose that was kind of wilted to the left, but God's going to turn it up. That's not what he said. He says, rose. That's it. When you begin to add, you begin to take away. Sometimes it's better just to say what God said than to say what you want to say. I ain't get no amens on that one? I ain't get no amens on that one? You want God to speak. You don't want man to speak. You want God to speak. You want him to give you the utterances. Why? Because that's what opens doors. That's what opens doors. All right. Go to Genesis 30, verse 22 through 24. And will you read it, Jackie, when you get there? Write down the keys of the kingdom. Prayer, worship, obedience, and location. Prayer, worship, obedience, and location.
Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb.
Okay, stop right there. Then God remembered Rachel. And what did he do?
He listened
to her. He opened her womb. Remember what I told you today? Something was stirring inside of me, and I just couldn't figure out what it was. He says that in the process of birthing, I will give you the key to open up so that it can be birthed. In other words, the door to the womb cannot be opened unless it's the timing of God and he says so. Or you will have a premature birth. Birthing position of prayer. Continue on, that's right. Continue on, please.
She became pregnant
and
gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son.
Do you see that? First of all, how come it didn't happen before? How come her womb was not open before? It wasn't time. And before that, you never see it written that she prayed. It wasn't until she prayed that God remembered her. Watch this, in the time of her distress. In the time that she felt like, just give me a child lest I die. See, if it's getting bad to the point that you think you're about to die, God remembers your prayer. He remembers your prayer. And then God opened up her womb, the door. This is too deep for y'all. Did you finish? All right, okay, just finish. Next slide, Josh. Go to Acts 16, 1 through 40, please. Acts 16, 1 through 40. And I want to take my time on this. If you've got to go, I pray that you just hold on just a little bit longer. I promise I'll go to this in depth, but to give you what you need. Amen. Are you there? Acts 16, 1 through 40. Begin reading, please.
He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the church was strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul said to his companion, travel throughout the region of Perga and Galata. Okay. Having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word.
Oh, stop right there. Do you see what it says right there? Having been forbidden or kept by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You know how many preachers that just want to do what they want to do and they don't want to listen to God? There's a time when to do, and then there's a time to be still. These are the disciples, the apostles. These are the ones that are governing churches all over the place. But the Holy Spirit held them from preaching. Continue reading.
When they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them
to. Okay, watch this. Another place they tried to enter, and the Spirit of Jesus would not let them. I'm trying to tell you, there's doors that he shuts that no man can open. Were these men doing something out of vain? Were these men trying to do something for their own glory? No, they were preaching about Jesus. But he would not permit them to go. Why? Because it wasn't the timing. Then you'll see as we continue reading on, he has a purpose and a place for them to be. Continue reading.
So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us."
You see that? Do you see that right there? Paul had a vision. Okay, now he's hearing from God. And there's a whole different direction now. In other words, don't go down to Asia Minor. Don't even go sideways. I need you to come up this way. God will direct you if you let him. But if you don't let him, you're going to be knocking at every door trying to get in, and you're not getting in. Knocking and knocking and knocking, and you're not getting in. Continue reading, please.
After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, mm-hmm. we went out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, mm-hmm. and the next day on to Neapolis. For there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and a leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days.
Mm-hmm. You see that? In the midst of where you're going to, where God wants you to go, say plateau.
Plateau.
He has you get there and wait. Come on. He gets you in the direction where you need to be, but he makes you wait in the process of getting there. And we get mad at the plateau. We get mad at the fact that nothing's happening. But I had a vision. I had a dream. I had a word from the Lord, but yet I'm waiting. I want to get out of this church, got one in my own building. I'm plateaued. Okay, now speak. Because I want to hear what you have to say while I'm on my plateau. Because it's for me. Y'all better understand that real quick. Because it's for you too. Watch this, continue reading.
On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer.
Hmm?
We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God.
Okay, right there. She was a worshiper of God. She worshiped God. She didn't know anything about Jesus, but she worshiped God. Now watch this. Continue reading.
The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message.
See, God opened up the heart again. The doorway, the door, the spirit. Not everything is going to happen with all these kinds of signs and wonders. Sometimes they just need to sit still, sit down with someone, just have a conversation, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to get saved. All right, I'm just saying. Go on.
When she and the members of her household were baptized.
Oh, wait a minute. Now her whole household got baptized? Do you see what I'm talking about? I'm giving you the keys. Worship is the other key. She was a worshiper of God that brought the knowledge into her household. Now her household got baptized.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because she worshiped God. Not every everybody in your family is going to worship God. But because you're the worshiper, God gave you that key. And you'll get them to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, baptized in the water, baptized into the knowing knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they took the time to talk to her. I know the season that we're in, people. Pay attention. Continue on, please. Please. Oh, Jesus.
She invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she had predicted the future.
Mm-hmm.
She earned a great deal of money for her owner of fortune telling.
Mm-hmm.
This girl followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled.
So annoyed. Shut your mouth!
That he turned around and said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully.
Okay, stop right there. They still heard from God, did they not? They still heard through a vision from God what to and where to and how to do, right?
Yeah.
And yet, do you see, they sat down to talk with a young lady that was a worshiper of God, went into her house, got them all baptized, and then got a place to stay. Oh, we must be in the will of God now. We got a place to stay. Everything's going good. And then they were walking through the city, and here comes this woman, a fortune teller, telling all these things, speaking truth, really, about who they were. And because prophet did not come to the men, now they're being taken before the magistrate, in other words, before the city officials, and they got beaten. Got beaten bad. Not only that, it says they got stripped naked. Yeah, they didn't have no loincloths. They got stripped naked, beaten. And it says they did what to them? They threw them in a jail? Threw them in a jail. Something I'm going to show you.
Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell.
Oh, stop right there. He put them in what? The inner cell. Do you know what that is? At your responses, I say that's a no. Okay, let me give you a better understanding. When you're in God's will, it gets ugly. People probably won't tell you that, or you probably wouldn't have gotten saved. They got thrown into prison after they were beaten, were they not? But then it says, makes it very clear, into the inner cell. Does it not say that? Let me give you a picture of what the inner cell was. The upper room of the cell was the jail where the prisoners would be at. That was not made of concrete or a wooden floor. It was made of like a grate. There was openings on the floor. So if they ever urinated or defecated, it would go down to where? The inner cell. You probably didn't know that, did you? Now, does it have a little bit more weight to that scripture now? Okay, here, that was your nugget. Now watch this. Now here's Paul and Silas now. Wait a minute, I had a vision. I heard we were to go. God had a plan and a purpose. And they got thrown into the inner cell. In other words, they got thrown underneath the other prisoners. where all, remember what I said, all of the dung, the poop, the stinks of the stinks is where they were at. Yeah. Yeah, pretty bad. Continue reading.
And fastened their feet in the stocks.
Oh, and not only that, put them handcuffs, if you would, shackles, tied them in the middle, in other words, right underneath, where they would get all that all over them. That was called the dungeons for those that they despised. Watch this. Continue reading.
About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God.
Wait a minute. Are we on the same story? Are we in the same Bible? Prayer and what? Praise. At midnight.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but come midnight, I want you to understand something about this area. Haven't you ever went around Corpus Christi in the dead of August? In other words, when you open up the door of your hotel room, what's waiting for you? Humidity. And the biggest mosquitoes you have ever seen in your life. So it wasn't that they were in a dungeon that was nice and cool and it was not. No. These cells were outside so that people could walk by, mock them, throw stuff at them. Okay? In other words, they wanted you to know that you were a criminal for real. Now, in the season they were in was summertime near the coastline. Humidity. The bugs. When do the bugs come out? Night. Now at midnight, hey, let's just start praising God. Hey, Oscar, let's just start praising God. Oh, wait a minute. Let me get that poop off of you. Let's just start praising God. Josh isn't here to play. I know. We'll just sing hymns. What are the hymns? Psalms. Who wrote Psalms? Who wrote the Psalms? David. They began to sing the Psalms of David at midnight. They first did what? They prayed. In the middle of your storm, in the darkest hour of your night, you know when it's really bad, it's irritating to the point you can't see past your what you're going through. Only thing you can see is what's facing you. Pray. Sing unto God your praises. The praises of what he can do in the midst of your tragedy, your storm, everything that you're going through. Praise him for that circumstance. Because what will happen when you praise him in that circumstance, not when they got out. Watch this. I'll paraphrase the story. I know it's getting late, but watch this. They prayed to God. They were praising God. They were still in shackles. Things are coming down all around them. And now, after that took place, all of a sudden now the doors were open. But it wasn't just their door. It said all the doors of the prisoners were opened. The jailer that had the keys that locked them in, he knew every single door he himself locked. But your prayer and your praise will not only open up your door to get you your freedom, but it will open up the door of the other prisoners in circumstances you know not of. But it will open the doors for them. That the jailer heard a noise. He heard a noise, and when he heard the noise, he turned on the light. What light? A candle. And looked. And not just one door, but all the doors are open, to the point that he was going to kill himself. What does Paul say? Steady yourself, for we are all here. How many of you would think that in the prison system today, if just by chance that the doors would open up, like, hey, I'm cool, I'm going to stay right here. These crazy fools over here have been praising God. I just poo-pooed and pee-peed all over them. But these doors open, I want to know what's going on. That's a miracle. That those that were criminals to begin with did not leave. But because of somebody else's praise and prayer, it opened up all the doors for the other ones that were in prison. Oh, watch this. Oh, it gets better. Not only does the jailer realize what took place after he hears the sound, and after he realizes that they're all still in there and accounted for, what must I do to be saved? The key that opens the door of the heart was released so that the jailer can hear the gospel for the first time. Not only that, the jailer then takes him into his house, and the whole household gets saved. Watch this. Then the jailer begins to clean the wounds that he put on him. Has the enemy been messing with you, giving you some blows, stripping you naked in front of everybody and making you think like you're never going to come out of this, making people talk about you, making people think that you're never going to see what you said you saw? Oh! All those beatings, all that ridicule, and all those lies. God's going to make that enemy. I'm sorry. I should have never pushed you. I should have never touched you. I should have never came into your life of influence. I should have never even put you in the lower prison. Because when the praises go up, you don't hear me. Y'all are missing it. Your praises have to go up to unlock the doors and the chains of everybody around you. All of a sudden now the jailer is like, oh my God, I want to be baptized. And the whole family got baptized. We need to get a bigger baptism tank. You don't hear me? Because I know some folks that are coming to be baptized. I know some folks that won't fit in that tub. I know some folks that are coming and are going to be baptized. And they're going to give glory to God for their healing. And they're going to give glory to God that they're loose from their shackles. Watch this. And because they were publicly declared over their life, watch what happens. The Bible continues to show that they said, oh, the jailer realized what happened. The magistrate said they're free to go because they're Romans. Watch this. He said, what? You publicly humiliated me. You put a decree over me. You put me in the lower part of the dungeon. You made me so low. I'm not walking out quiet. You make them come get me and escort me out. Watch what the magistrates did. Put that Bible down. Put it down. Put it down. I wronged you. I labeled incorrectly. I labeled incorrectly. I caused for them to have doubt. I caused for those connected to have doubt. I attacked your faith, but you withstood the onslaught. And because you did, I'm not going to let you leave quietly. And only the right thing to do is to escort you out to your freedom. Your freedom. And escorts the one that was afflicted, the one that was imprisoned, the one that was ridiculed, the one that was talked about, the one that everybody was attacking, the one that they were saying, you have no more faith, you have no more strength, the one that was being brutally ostracized from everybody is the one that got escorted out of their dungeon, out of their prison, out of everything that has covered them from society. And then when doctors place something on your life that is not true, because fact is one thing, but the truth is another. And the truth will always get rid of facts. It doesn't matter what's been going on in your life. It's your prayer, your praise, your worship, and being in the right place. When you're in the right place, He comes through. He won't leave you. The Bible says that He's never seen His seed begging bread. Never begging for nothing, but always getting what is rightfully theirs. He's not a respecter of a person for what he did for one, he'll do for another. But sometimes somebody else has to go through to bring strength for somebody else when they're going through. You are being escorted to the place of your freedom and your healing. Your prayer, your praise, and your worship is what brings about a change even in the midnight hour. But watch this. It wasn't at night and it wasn't at midnight, but it was in the morning that everybody could see they're no longer in bondage. They're no longer being mislabeled. They're no longer being talked about. Now they're wondering, how good is their God? Who is it that you serve? Because the magistrates, the ones that did this to you, are escorting you to your freedom. I don't know what kind of bondage the enemy has put on you, what label he's done, whether you're in the inner cell or the upper cell. Or maybe you've been in bondage before you're getting put into the cell. But what he's doing, are you going to pray? Are you going to praise? And are you willing to testify of what he's done? These are the keys to the kingdom of God. What you loose in heaven is loosed on earth. I loose healing. I loose finances. I loose your family being saved. I loose your loved ones from being hard at heart. I loose those that are in bondage to all types of carnality. And what I bind on earth is also bound in the heavenlies. I bind everything that is not of God, and that every spirit that has taken charge over your life, I bind it now in the name of Jesus, and it's bound in the heavenlies, meaning that the spiritual tormentors are being bound right now. That you're being loose, for the keys of prayer and worship are opening the doors of the womb to birth forth what God has promised you. You got to understand that this is the season and the hour that you will hear a sound above the mulberry trees. And it is the liniment of healing that is being released to the body of Christ. Prayer and praise. Being in the right position of prayer for birthing. You don't quit. And when you think you can't take it no more, that's when God begins to lift you up. And you look back and you're no longer by yourself, but you're no longer where you used to be. You're further along. You're further along in Him and in the kingdom. So that when you turn around, everything that you have been fighting for, everything that you've been believing God for, knocking on all those doors, by the time you know it, you look back, you have climbed your mountain. You have climbed your mountain and you're standing at the pinnacle to see where you once were at and now where you're at now. Nothing but the love of God and the grace of God. Watch this. I want you to go back and read the Ten Commandments. You'll never find in the Ten Commandments prayer. Never. What you will find when Jesus speaks, pray, 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 pray. Why? Because you can't do it without prayer. For you intercessors in this house that are called to this house, I charge you, pray for the body of Christ. I just want this house, body of Christ. Because we got to be ready and in position and in the right place at the right time. When you come to a place in God where everything that you do is to trust Him, He begins to move in the area of your faith because of your obedience. And things just begin to open up for you. The Bible says, wait. And when you wait for it, don't lose hope. Not going to tarry. It'll surely come. It'll surely come. Many of us wait. We think, is it really for real? Is it really going to happen? God is real. And before this foundation was ever built, He loved you. God did not make a mistake in any of His creation. It was purposed. And if He did not create it and send it your way, He will use it for your good. Not His good, your good. Then He will receive glory. If you're facing your mountain and you've bound it, you've tried to cast it and it don't move, start climbing. Start climbing. Start climbing. Don't quit. Because when you get to the top, you'll be able to see your next mountain. Your next mountain. And when you get to the top, He brings you down to the valley. Or He walks with you. He walks with you. Don't lose hope. Think you're going to throw in the towel? I don't know how many times I've tried. He just picks it up and says, baby, you're just throwing a tantrum. Because you know what He does? He usually sends a little grace your way. And then you start rebelling. I'm sorry, God. Sorry. Why? Because He knows His children. He knows His children. And because you're His child, you get all the benefits of what's in His house. Because He's giving you the key to David's house. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Doing a great job, Josh. Great job. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I release over the lives of your people, your children, your sons and your daughters of the kingdom of God. I release spiritual keys that unlock spiritual doors that manifest here in the natural. Father, I just thank you right now that the keys of prayer, worship, obedience, and position have been released. And Father, I just thank you right now, as the spiritual doors have opened, we will walk through the manifested doors right before our eyes. And we know, Father, that more importantly, we have become the church that many people will never walk into, a four-walled church, but they will walk right into us. And because they've encountered us, they've encountered you. Because we are the church of brotherly love. And because of that, you have given us the keys. We will constantly reach out, Father, in love, not looking for evil, but looking for good. Father, I thank you that we don't walk with a pious attitude. We walk knowing that we love one another because you first loved us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. More importantly, God, we thank you that you will teach us your ways. Jesus, you said you only do as you see your Father do. You only speak as you hear your Father speak. And Father, we're hearing the Father speak tonight. And because it's prophetic utterances, God, we receive your prophetic word. And we thank you for the doors being open. And we thank you for doors that need to remain shut. And if these doors need to remain shut, Father, give us new directions, new plans. Order our steps. And if our heart has departed away, we repent, getting back in line with you, God, so that we don't miss the mark, that we follow after you with all our heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you in advance for divine healing, doors of prosperity, doors of relationships being restored, marriages being restored, rekindled, passion being instilled into the marriage, into the relationship. Father, I even thank you that creativity and inventions are being released into the body of Christ with opportunities, Father, for your people to advance your kingdom. Father, I thank you for release that will be transpired over international banks. I thank you for minerals that will be released here in the States. And I thank you for rights and deeds of land being released and the interest of the minerals within that land being paid out. God, I thank you in advance. I thank you for what you have declared. The checks are in the mail. Lord, we need what we need, but you supply all of our needs. Father, we just thank you right now. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into every day of our life, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays, but every day. That you guide us. And where we're not to go, you permit us not to go. And where we're to go, you guide us to go. We surrender unto you, Father. We pray this now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. All right. Make sure you get the envelopes from Miss Melissa back there. In your tithe, the offering, give from your heart. Give from your heart. If you need to make a credit card deposit, you can do that online at www.thehouseofmanna.com. It's a PayPal account. That PayPal account, we're sending out to missionaries. We're tithing. Everything that you give us, a tenth goes to different ministries. Papa Louis says thank you for you guys out of Africa. They receive financial blessings from us. And other missionaries that are going out there, not even part of this church, but they're going overseas. Some of y'all remember. You remember Nancy? We've been sowing into that as well. As I believe in giving perpetually. What you give.